Amen. Amen. I mean that. Y'all sounded great. I almost just want to like come down and let y'all lead worship because it was so awesome to see the Lord's house full today on Mother's Day and most Sundays and just singing His praises. Amen. So Psalm 128. If you want to find that, if you have your Bibles with you today, Psalm 128. The title of the sermon today is Happy Mother's Life. And that's just what was on my heart. And I know we just started a new study. We were going through the book of Titus. We started last week, but God just wouldn't let me focus on that. Or maybe that's just my distractions. I don't know. I'm going to blame God for it. Before I get started, I do want to do this just because I got the platform to do it, okay, this morning. And I'm sure all of you would do the same if you were up here. I want to honor three special moms to me in my life. Number one, I'm blessed to have her, is my mom is here today. So, Mom, I love you, and I'm thankful for you. Number two is the mother of my children, Jenny, my wife, Jenny, if you'll raise your hand. I know she's getting mad at me right now. I'm thankful for her, and I'm also thankful for her mom. A lot of times, in-laws get a bad rap. I don't have that case. I've got third mom in my life, but a second mom to me and Jenny's mom, and so I'm thankful for her, and I want to give, she's not here today, but let's give her a round of applause too. How about that? So happy Mother's Day. I know we just started this other study, but I really feel like the Lord laid this psalm upon my heart today. You see, the very first Mother's Day that I was blessed to be the pastor here at this church, I think it was in 2018. I'm pretty sure that's when I preached it. It was Psalm 127, and we gave away a little gift to the mothers, and we did that. And so I don't know, that was kind of on my heart again, or maybe I was just looking for an easy way out of, you know, taking a sermon that I've already studied before. I don't know, but either way, I could not find my sermon outline for that. And I was going to go back through that and kind of see if that would apply for us today, since we have so many new moms and new mothers that weren't here then and everything, and I was going to kind of re-preach that scripture, and I couldn't find it, so I went to Psalm 127, and I read through it, and I just wasn't feeling it. You know, I was just like, I don't know that that's really it, and so I just already had it open, so I read to Psalm 128, and God said, there it is. And so I love how God works like that sometimes, and I just opened up my Bible, and I kept reading, and it grabbed my attention, and I couldn't put it down. I couldn't focus on Titus. So none of that probably matters to you this morning, but I just felt like explaining it to you because it makes me feel better, okay? So this passage we're about to read today, it deals with the family, all right? And while the writer includes in there all who fear the Lord, and we're going to read that in just a second, talk about it, it's really addressed to the man of the house. We're going to blame the wives. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to see that the context of it, and I hope that it'll make sense the way the Lord laid on my heart, that mothers can be, a lot of times on Mother's Day, I would always try to have an encouraging message, okay? And so there's encouragement to be found in this message. And then Father's Day, I would normally, just because I'm a man, I would challenge the men. And so today, this message has a little bit of that, a little both of that, a little bit of encouragement, but also a challenge for the mothers that are here today, or maybe they're listening online. We're going to go through Psalm 128, and it shows us a happy man and woman as they go through several stages of their life. And when you think, you know, and if we really listen, and we can all apply. So if you're not a mom here today, you're a teenager, or you've never been a mother, you don't plan on being a mom, or whatever your case is, or you're a dad today, whatever it is, it will apply to you because it's the Word of God. Amen? So, Psalm 128, let's read that, and then we'll get into the text this morning. And we're going to read the entire chapter, which is only 6 verses. So everybody go, all right, here we go. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and follow His ways. The whole sermon right there, y'all. But it goes on to say this, you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear Him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace. Isn't that beautiful? Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning, and we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for your blessing upon our lives and the plan that you have for our lives. If we would just fear you, that doesn't mean be afraid of you, but respect the fact that you are sovereign, you are holy, and we are not, and that we give you reverence, and we say, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life, which is the master, and we want to follow you willingly because we love you. And we just follow your ways, and we do that. So, Lord, I just thank you for your instructions that you give here, and I just pray that you would help me this morning to get out of the way and that you would let each of us not be distracted and just receive the word. And, Lord, since this message actually mentions Jerusalem and Israel, Lord, we pray for them today. We pray for the nation of Israel today before we go any further, and we pray this psalm over them and this blessing over them today, that your Holy Spirit would protect them and guide them and strengthen them. Lord, we know that your word tells us you've got them. They're your chosen people. And so, Lord, we lift them up to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we go through these six verses today that we just read, there's 5 points or 5 areas that jumped out at me that I want to cover this morning. Number one is this. It starts right at the very beginning. The joy of being a believer. All right, the joy of just following Christ, the joy of following the Lord. Number two is the joy of being a worker. All right, there is joy to be found in working if you're doing it the right way. We're going to talk about that. Number three, the joy of being a parent. We're going to see that in this psalm. Number four, we're going to see the joy of being a good citizen of the nation in which you live in. And number five, we're going to see the joy of being a grandparent. How many grandparents do we have in the room? If you could slip up your hand. Look at that. I bet you every one of them would tell you what a blessing and a joy it is to have grandkids, right? Amen? When they act up, you just send them home, right? No, but seriously, it's a blessing to live long enough to see your grandchildren and to get to be involved in their life. So that's the 5 things that we're going to talk about. We're going to jump right into it this morning because I have a lot on my heart. Let's look at verse 1 again. Psalm 128, verse 1, it says this. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow His ways. Now, we could read over that and just to be another psalm, another verse, and we'd open up Psalm. But listen to what it's really saying. Here is the joy of being a believer. Here's number one. Again, this was written to show a man and his wife going through different stages of his life. And I love how the very first verse starts out with the foundation of how to find true joy, right? If you're going to have true joy, you have to fear the Lord and you got to follow His ways because He's the only one that can give us joy. Right? Happiness comes and goes, but joy of the Lord is forever. That's what He gives us. It's for all eternity. No matter what we're going through, His joy can be in our life, and He wants us to have His joy, but we can't have it unless we know the joy of being a believer. We have to come to the point where we fear the Lord and we follow His ways. We get to the point in our life that no matter what achievements we reach, no matter what goals that we had set for our life and our career or whatever, maybe even in our family, well, I've got 4 kids and that's what I've always wanted or whatever. No matter what relationships we have in our life, no matter how many possessions that we have and that we've acquired, maybe how much money we have in our savings account or retirement account or investments or whatever, if you're like me, you still have this hole in your life that none of these things can fill. Even your children, mothers, can't fill God's place in your life. And you're thinking, you're like, what? Are you kidding me? I love my children like nobody, like nothing else. But it all has to go to that foundation of fearing the Lord and following His ways. You see, from the very beginning, God made a covenant with His people. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2 says this. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep His commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. What a great promise. You will experience all these blessings if you obey your God. Now, it goes on to talk about your crops will never fail. You'll have, your cities will prosper and all those things. If you go back and read Deuteronomy chapter 28, I encourage you to do that. It gives all those blessings. But now, if you go a little further in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and other places in the Scriptures, the Lord gives us what to expect if we do not fear the Lord and we do not follow His ways. I talked about it with the youth group this week. I went to Psalm chapter 1 talking about blessed are those and how much joy those have who do not hang out with sinners and mockers and all those things. The Bible tells you the result of which choice you take. So you don't have to play a guessing game. I wonder what's going to happen if I don't follow the Lord. All right, I wonder what's going to happen if I don't fear the Lord. You don't have to wonder that because the Word tells you. Why does the Word tell you? The Word tells you because God doesn't want you to have to experience it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you go a little bit further, verse 15 says this, "But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you." All right, it goes on. It has a list under that that says crops aren't going to satisfy you. Your cities are going to fail. Your governments, it goes through all these lists, and I'm paraphrasing them, but it talks about all the things that it's not going to go well for you in life. So that's the first point for today, because it has to be the first point for each one of us in our life. If no matter what stage you are, if you've jumped ahead in life of all these things, for you to have joy in all these different seasons of life, today you have to make the decision that I'm going to be a believer and find the joy that comes from fearing the Lord, accepting the gift of salvation that he gave me on the cross through Jesus Christ, and I'm going to follow his ways. It's that simple. That's where it all starts. John chapter 3, Jesus taught the same truth. Verses 18 and 19, and this is right after he says John 3:16 that we all know, and we teach our children and all those things, but listen what he says. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. Okay, so there it is. There's Deuteronomy chapter 28. There is no judgment. You have God's blessing over your life if you believe in Christ and what he did for you. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. See, let's do the two choices here. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. Until we get to the point we realize that we have ourselves, somewhere along the line in our life, if you were like me, it started when you were really little, you started liking the things that were of the darkness and not of the light. All right? And it can be as simple as, I'm not sharing my Hot Wheels with you because that's my toy and that's not yours. Right? That's not how God would. God shared his Son with us. So it's in our nature from the very beginning of, David said when he was in his mother's womb, he was already a sinner. God's light came into the world, but the people love the darkness more than the light. We have to fear the Lord, right? We have to fear the Lord and follow his ways. So fathers and husbands that are here today, mothers, wives that are here today, young people who are here today, somebody who is feeling like, well, this doesn't even apply to me today, I would ask you this, no matter whether you live in an apartment, a house, whatever it is your home filled with the joy that comes from fearing the Lord and following his ways? All right, filled with the joy. It's got to start there. That as for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord, because that's the foundation that everything in our life, everything in my life must be built on to experience all the blessings and the joy that we're going to talk about today. Y'all with me this morning? There's point one. We jumped right into it. Point two. We're going to look at Psalm 128, verse 2. Point two comes from verse 2, and it says this. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. This is what is on my heart for this verse today. God created you, and he created me to be a worker. Now, my supervisor is probably watching online, which he does sometimes, and he's like, amen. You need to hear that, Anthony. But seriously, God created us to be workers. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, very beginning. All right, this is in the very beginning of creation. He had just created Adam and Eve, and he says that the Lord God placed a man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. All right, so he right there from the very beginning, he created man, he created woman, and he's like, all right, I got to work for you to do. All right, but here is what we need to understand, or maybe it's what we get wrong in our culture. You know why we dread getting up and going to work? Now, some of y'all may love your job, but even there's times where you just dread getting up and doing some kind of work in life, right? Do you know why we look forward to retirement? It's because most of our culture today is working as slaves. We're working as slaves instead of working out of a place where we have joy in our work. Why is that? Why are we slaves? We're slaves because we have possessions and money and things like that. We want all the finer things and we want them right now. We'll pay for them later. But if we could just get all this stuff, if I could just get this and get that and I could just get a bigger house, it would fix all my problems and I would be happier. If I could just get the next promotion or the next job, we want all the finer things now and we'll worry about paying for them later. See, that wasn't God's plan for us to work. That wasn't his plan. And really, we're one of the only cultures in the world that live by this. He didn't place Adam and Eve in the garden to pay off their debt, to pay off their debt for the bigger house that they thought they needed. He placed them there so they could share in his work and share the fruit of their labor. So any work that you do, any work that God has given you the ability, he gave it to you so you could share it with him, and that he could share in that experience with you and work through you. But he also gave you that ability so you could take that what you earn and share it with others. You see, this is why we as Christians are called to tithe. You say, oh, I came to church on Mother's Day and he's going to preach on tithing. But listen to me, church. We got to change our concept about tithing and giving money in the offering plate or giving to somebody in need or whatever it is. It's not because God needs your money. God doesn't need your money. He placed the stars in the sky, makes the sun come up every morning. He doesn't need our paper money that's really ain't even worth anything anymore. He doesn't need it. But why did he create tithing? It's because it keeps our hearts focused in the right place. Because it reminds us that it's not our money to begin with and it's worthless. And if we're worshiping that, then we're not worshiping God. You see, since the beginning of creation, mankind has gravitated towards worshiping stuff. Your pastor worships stuff. And I have to constantly go back and be like, it's just stuff. It could be even your plans. I'm worshiping my plans. I haven't even stopped and asked God, what's your plan? Instead of worshiping God, we're prone to when we gravitate towards worshiping stuff and money and possessions and all those different things. And one of the reasons this passage hit me so hard this week was because our homes here in this nation are missing out on the joy that the Lord intended for us to have because we're so busy working as slaves. Instead of working in just in the joy of the Lord and doing all things as if we're doing it for the Lord. Our work is not joyful because we wanted the fruit before the labor. That's not what he said. He said, you'll be prosperous and you'll share the fruit of your labor. So we want the labor. We want the fruit now, and then we'll say, well, we'll pay with it with our labor later. We'll figure that out later. That's not fruit. That's slavery. That's a whip and chains. And it leaves us frustrated. It leaves us stressed and tired and working our whole life instead of serving the Lord and serving our family. We're busy paying off stuff at work and working overtime. Been there and done it. So moms, but again, all of us, why do you work? Why do you work? Let the Lord evaluate that for a minute. God's word evaluate it. Is it to pay off stuff that we put before God, or is it because we want to share the fruit of our labor? Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And who will give you? What does it say? He will give you everything you need. Yet we worry and we worry and we worry. We say, oh, we're not going to have, what are we going to do? We're not going to have enough. There's the instructions right there. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, and he's going to supply everything you need. In that same chapter, Jesus says, look at the birds. Do the birds worry? Do they worry about what they're going to eat? No, I supply their needs. And I love you more than I love them. Why are you going to worry? Does worry add a single day to your life? It actually takes days off of your life. So the more we seek the kingdom of God above all else, mothers, but everybody, whether it's in our home, and that's your workplace, or maybe you're out in the workplace, either one, the more that we want to share what God has blessed us with, the more that we look at what we have and what our income and our work and our ability to work as a service to God and to our neighbors and to our family and to our church, this is where you find joy in your work. That's when you ever done something that you really enjoy doing that's work? Like, I don't know, that sounds crazy, but I love, like, if I'm going to go out and split a load of firewood or something, or I'm going to go work on a tractor or something like that. Yesterday we were working on my son's truck, and I got that project-oriented mind. I like to check it off the list and say, I got that done today. I go to bed, and I'm tired, and my back's hurting or whatever, but I've got joy because I got it done, and I enjoyed the work. And so that's the way we were really, intended to work in our workplace, or maybe mothers in your home or whatever it is. When we enjoy the fruit of the labor, that's where we really experience being prosperous. And that's what the psalmist was saying. All right, let's keep going. Look with me at verse 3 and 4. Psalm chapter 128, verse 3 and 4 says this. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing within your home. That's beautiful. I love that. I don't know why. I don't even, It just, the flourishing within your home just jumps out at me. He goes on to say this: your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. Isn't that something? Just sitting around the table is a blessing from the Lord. How often do we not do that? Because we're so busy working and doing other things. Here's number three: the joy of being a parent. These two verses that we just read give us a promise from God. If we fear him and we follow his ways, if we seek his kingdom above all else, right? If we work with our heart that looks forward to sharing our fruit, if we work to live, work to live and not live to work, right? Is that right? If we have that mentality, you wives, you mothers, God promises that you will be fruitful grapevines. I love that. You will flourish in your home, and your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. Now, I was reading about this week and reading some commentary on it, and see, both the grapevine and the olive tree were very important to the economy and the health of the nation of Israel, right? That was their main breadbasket, if you will, of their income, and their whole economy rested on the grapevine for the wine and stuff, and then also for the olive tree because of the oil and all the different things that it had for it. And as God's chosen people, they needed the wine, they needed the oil from the tree, they needed those things, not only for their own generation, but they needed those crops and they needed those things for the economy and also so the next generation, that God's nation would continue to thrive and grow. Jewish families, what they wanted is a large family. They didn't say, after two kids, getting too expensive, I'm cutting it off, right? They didn't look at, and I've been there, whatever, I'm not just saying in our culture, but in their culture, they looked at children as a way to continue to grow this more soldiers of Christ, if you will, more people for God's army. That's the way they looked at it. And so when they had a child, they looked at it as a heavenly blessing from God, which is that's exactly what it is. And they saw that it was their responsibility to raise their children to fear the Lord and follow his ways. You see, the picture of the children being this vigorous young olive tree, I picture, like, you know, have you ever seen under a, you know, an oak tree or whatever kind of tree, you see like the little sprouts where the acorns fall and the little sprouts are surrounding the tree? That's right. If you don't rake, it happens a lot. But I think that's what the psalmist is picturing for us. Children, they're a blessing, they're new life, new growth coming up. It gives us a visual of a little olive tree shoots at the base of a mature tree. And for these shoots to really grow into healthy, fruit-bearing trees, they need to be cared for. They need to be nurtured. And that's what a mom does with her children. This is God's design for a mom. This is God's design for a mother. And if you fear the Lord and you follow his ways, when you see your role as God sees it, that the health of our nation, the future of our nation, depend on the work that you do in your home with your children. God promises, when we see it from that angle, he says you will flourish in your home. You'll flourish in your home because all of a sudden, it's no longer, I'm tired, I don't know, I got to do this, or the bills, whatever. You're saying, I got a heavenly purpose. God gave me these children, and I have a God-given responsibility, but also that comes with promises that I'm going to raise them up. Raise them up to be healthy, God-fearing and God-following people. Psalm 127, verse 3, this is the chapter right before what we're reading through today, says, children are a gift from the Lord. I think the King James says a heritage of the Lord. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Moms, I know it doesn't feel like it sometimes, right? My mom would probably say amen there. There was times where I put her through it. And that's why I have to honor her and give her praise, because children always, they don't seem like a reward. But moms, are you fruitful? Are you a fruitful, flourishing vine in your home? Do you see your children as vigorous young olive trees, shoots that God gave you to care for and to raise them to grow the kingdom of God? Not only to grow in the kingdom of God, but to grow the kingdom of God. When you have this perspective of being a parent, I believe this is where you truly will understand the joy of being a mom. Being a parent in general, but being a mom specifically here on Mother's Day. Amen? There is joy to be found in being a parent that goes beyond just being proud of your children. Psalm 128, verse 5. Let's keep going. Verse 5 says this: May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. Now, this is one I almost skipped over, and I love this, because here's the joy of being a good citizen of the nation in which you live. The Jewish people were proud of their nation. They were proud of their nation. They were proud to be God's chosen people. They were proud of their heritage, and they wanted to see God continue blessing their nation. They wanted his blessings to continue to fall upon their people and their children. And as long as, and they longed for their children to bring honor to the nation of Israel and to the Lord. In fact, many psalms actually end. If you read through the whole book of Psalms, if you read through that, most of them end with a prayer for the nation. Isn't that cool? How often do we pray for our nation? Not just pray for the political figure that we hope wins so gas prices come down. All right, that's not what he's talking about. Praying for the nation as a whole. You see, you have given moms, especially today, you have a great God-given opportunity to raise the next generation of patriots. All right, not just patriots that protect your Second Amendment, your First Amendment, whatever. I'm talking about patriots for this country, the patriots that love God so much and all his ways, and they follow him so much that they will stand on God's word and they will work to ensure that the statement, God bless America, is actually a true statement and remains a true statement. Because we just read it. God's not going to bless it if we're not following his ways. It's not just a punchline at the end of a politician's speech or whatever. This should be our prayer. God, please bless our country. Please bless our generation. Bless my children to be the change agent where we've fallen short or where somebody else has fallen short. Lord, use them in a mighty way to save our nation, to have it come back to you. Psalm 127, again, we're going to go back to that. Verse 4 and 5 says this: Children are born to a young man, are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at his city gates. You see, your job as a mom is to be shaping that arrow so it flies true. Your job is to be making sure that every feather on that arrow is focused and honed in on everything. Anybody who shoots archery in here knows the slightest little problem with the arrow can make it go off course. The arrow is the most important part. We're not to live in anxiety. We're not to worry about our children's quality of life in this time in which we're living. Oh, my children are growing up with all of this going on. What do I do? Worrying yourself day and night? No. That's not the way we're supposed to look at it. You can't find any joy in being a parent and being and really being a good citizen if you think like that. Instead, we're to see them as arrows in the hands of a warrior. God gave me these little warriors, right? These little arrows right here, and God's going to use them to defeat the enemy. If God has given you children, he has a purpose for them. He has a purpose for them in this generation that reaches so far beyond plastic soccer trophies and college degrees and all these different things that we tend to focus on. Nothing wrong with any of those things, but a lot of times they get first place instead of the Lord and his ways. Parents, mothers, it is our responsibility to raise them to fear the Lord and follow his ways, to make that arrow fly as straight as possibly as we can. Because true patriotism, if we're really going to raise up true patriots for our country that love our nation, it's got to start in the home. It's got to start in the home. That's where it's supposed to start. That's where it started from the very beginning of our nation. It's the home that where the love of God really takes root, and that's where the love of our family, and that's really where the love of God, all those things come together in the home. That's where it has to start. Basically, our children should be taught more about what we are for than what we're against. We had opportunity to go do the Walk of Life this year, and I'm telling you, we're going to get more involved with that as a church, because I've never been, and I got involved with this life and this year, and it was awesome. And they said that. They said, we're not going to picket signs. We're not going to do any of that. We want people to know what we're about, what we're for, not what we're against, right? So they just say, we just want everybody to know that we love the Lord, and we believe that he created each baby in the womb, and he doesn't want us killing their babies. Not judging people who have, or not yelling spit and hate and all those different things. We're just going to go tell them what we believe and what we know. They should hear more about, and they should be taught more about what we are about than what we are against. This is where we find the joy of being a good citizen, and this is where we really find the joy of being a good parent. Look at me at verse 6, and we'll begin to wrap it up for today. I'm going to read it again. It says this: may you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace. Here's the fifth and final point for today. Number 5 is this: the joy of being a grandparent. In just 6 short verses in this text that we're going through, we've gone from just a bride and groom, if you will, all the way to grandparents in 6 verses. But you know what? Isn't that, grandparents, can you testify? Isn't that how quick it goes? Isn't that how quick it goes? So maybe that's why he did that. Maybe that's why the psalmist did that. It goes, life happens so fast. You see, the only way that I can really find joy in every season is found, I believe, in this psalm that we're going through today. Here are 3 generations in this short chapter, but each one of them are following the Lord. They're walking with the Lord. You know, so often we remember the scripture where God says he judges the future generations for the sins of the parents that came before him. You ever heard that in Deuteronomy? We're going to read it if you haven't. And a lot of times I think about that, I'm like, man, that just seems kind of harsh. You know what I mean? It just seems kind of harsh. Let's read it. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9, it says this: you must not bow down to them. He's talking about worshiping other gods and idols, a car, a boat, 4-wheelers, a house, you know, jobs, whatever, hobbies. You must not bow down to them and worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God and will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the 3rd and 4th generation of those who reject me. All right, so this is what we need to understand. Your sin, people will say, well, I'm going to live how I'm going to, you ain't got no, you know, it's none of your business how I live. Your sin, my sin, it just said, affects your whole family. So we got to think beyond ourselves. But you see, this is what's cool. God also gives us the other side of the coin on that. He also blesses the children of those who love the Lord and follow the Lord. All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 5, the next verse, verse 10, God says this: but I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations. All right, remember the other one? He said just 3 or 4 generations will be affected by your sin. But look what happens when we follow God's ways. He said, but I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. Parents, mothers, especially here today, if we don't love the Lord and follow his ways, why would our children, why would our grandchildren? We can take them to Sunday school, and that's good. We can enroll them in a Christian school, but if they don't see me, if my kids don't see me following the Lord and fearing him and following him and striving to follow him, why would I expect them to do it? You know, we read it it's not only in the statistics, but it's in the text we just read a few seconds ago. It shows that normally it's the 3rd generation of every family who really abandons their faith. And if you think about that, I can see that in my lifetime. I can see how my generation is more likely to abandon their faith than like my grandparents were. Therefore, we have a God-given responsibility to do everything we can to raise our children to be children who seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously. It's that simple. Above all else, they seek the kingdom of God. We have an obligation to pray over our children, to pray over their children, and the children of their children, the grandchildren of their grandchildren. That's what we should be doing. Instead of laying in bed worrying about our country and worrying about our nation, instead of getting frustrated and down, we just say how much peace we often forfeit because we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. God's waiting for this nation to cry out for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. You know, I'm going to end with this. When I was at my ordination service, when I finally quit running from the Lord and I surrendered to the ministry, my uncle, Perry, he was one of the speakers that gave me the charge at my ordination service. And I never forget, he told a story, and I didn't even know this, and he told a story about my great-grandfather, Clore, praying for his great-grandchildren and his great-great-grandchildren. And they remember hearing him in his room with the door closed, and he was on his knees, and sometimes he would laugh, And he would sing to God, and he would cry out to God, and they would, the whole family could hear him in their praying for the next generations of his family. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. And in my ordination service, my Uncle Perry, he told me this. He said, Anthony, your great-grandfather, his prayers are being answered today. And it sent chills down my back. It still does. To think that what God is doing in my life is a direct result of the prayer life of my great-grandfather. When he didn't ever even knew me, I never met him, but he was praying for me. We have the same responsibility to do the same thing. Mothers, more than likely, you are here today because your mother or somebody who was like a mother in your life prayed for you. They prayed for you. How often do we pray for the next generation? How often do we pray for our children? And not just pray for them, protect them while they're driving and they're new drivers or they're going to college and you're missing them or whatever. I mean, I'm talking about praying for their godly purpose. Praying for them to find their calling in life and to serve the Lord with all their heart and love the Lord with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul. We have to do the same. We must pray for our families. We have to pray for this nation, that this generation and beyond will fear the Lord and follow his ways. That's simple. Let's pray. Father, I'm going to try just for a minute to practice what I preach. Lord, I pray today for the families that are represented in this place today. Lord, I lift them up to you today, not because I'm holier than anybody else, because I can talk to you because you love me. And I've accepted the gift of salvation. I have your spirit living in me. Lord, your word tells us that you want us to cast our cares upon you. We're not made to carry it. We can't carry it. Lord, I worry about my children growing up in this world that we're living in. I worry about the things that they're going to have to deal with. And I know every parent, especially the mothers, share that anxiety. But Lord, I pray today. I pray for the children of this church, specifically, of the nation, but today the children that you have blessed us with in this place, I not only pray for them, that they would fear the Lord and follow your ways, Lord, but I pray for their children. Lord, I pray for the baby that's crying right now, and I praise your name for that noise in our church, because it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Your army's growing. Help us to have that perspective, Father. Help us to pray for our children. Lord, I pray for this generation. I pray for the next. I pray for the great, great, great grandchildren of the children that are in our nursery today. I pray for them that they will be pastors and evangelists, missionaries, ordinary people that do extraordinary things because of Christ who strengthens them. Lord, help us. Help the mothers today not to grow weary in their work and the busyness of life. Encourage them today, Lord, but also I pray that we put a fire in their soul, that you would put a fire in their soul to ignite them to look at the great responsibility and blessing that you have laid upon them, to teach the next generation, fear the Lord and follow his ways. Lord, I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, this blessing upon these families that are here today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. As an invitation this morning, I just want to ask you this. Do you have the joy that only can come from being a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ? If not, that's available to you today. Just like I say, I don't want to end a service without reminding us of that, reminding myself, reminding you of that. Place your faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross. He will fill your life. He will forgive you and accept you as a child of God. And you, all the things that you did, all the things that you're going to do, it all just fades away in the light of his glory and grace. That's on him. It says that. God has a blessing waiting for you today. Will you accept it? Will you accept the joy that he wants to give you as a believer? If that's you today, or maybe you need prayer today, maybe you want to come up and just hit your knees and pray over your family and your children. Let's do that today. Let's do that today. And I'll be glad to pray with you. You can pray by yourself. You can pray where you are. But let's spend this time. And I can feel the Lord's Spirit just working in this place. Let's spend this time before we go home, before we eat out, we have cookouts and picnics, and let's pray for our nation. And let's pray for the future generations. Amen? If God is calling you, come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.